Good afternoon. It's right on 5 o'clock. You listen to 1197 AM RPH Adelaide. We're on the net, www.rphadelaide.org.au. You'll also find us on your digital radio. Peter Greco welcoming you to LeisureLink. On the program today, we'll speak to Andrew Hunt, a heart transplant recipient. We'll speak to Crystal Pugsley and also Siobhan West about an athlete's leadership program with Special Olympics. Pam Mitchell talks about anxiety and feeling overwhelmed. We'll speak gold ball with Nikita Grosser. We'll catch up with Neil McKenzie talking about the launch of the VaxSwim program. And a tree will tell us about a very important day coming up, a disability pride parade. We'll speak also to Madison Elliott taking part in the Pacific School Games in the pool. And Rob Atts will join us overseeing gold ball at the Pacific School Games. Andrew Hart is a heart transplant recipient who's doing extremely well. Andrew, thanks for speaking to us.
How are you going?
Very well, and more importantly, how are you?
Yeah, not too badly. My new heart's beating a bit faster than it was before you rang.
Andrew, how long ago did you have your transplant?
Nearly 8 years ago. The 8 years at the end of January next year.
And you were pretty unwell leading up to that time?
Yeah, I was unwell on and off for about a decade. I had a pacemaker in 98, and then progressively over the next 10 years became sicker and sicker and sicker until eventually there was only one option left, and that was to to get a new heart.
Now, I think you were in your early 40s when you had a pacemaker. Had you had heart issues leading up to that?
Well, when I was 18, I was diagnosed with an irregular heart, but no one seemed too concerned at that time. I'd been feeling, getting towards 1998 when I was 42, I'd been feeling dizzy and unwell and generally lethargic for quite some time. And my mum said to me, "It sounds like you're going to need a pacemaker like me." So, yeah, the heart failure came from my mother's side of the family.
So between then and your heart transplant, how unwell did you get?
Extremely unwell. Yeah, I was in and out of Flinders Medical Centre multiple times. I was saved by my defibrillator half a dozen times. Without that, I wouldn't have even got to have a new heart. So, yeah, I was extremely sick. Extremely sick.
So how long were you on the transplant or on the list, expecting or hoping for a transplant?
How long was I on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, July 2007 I got listed, and the transplant was at the end of January, so I did pretty well.
Now, there's quite an interesting story regarding your transplant, isn't there?
There is, Peter. Yeah, we were chatting yesterday. My partner and I, Dana, we were sent to Melbourne because I was so ill they were going to implant what's called a left ventricular assist device, which is a pump that goes into the left ventricle to keep me alive long enough until a donor heart became available. 1 o'clock that afternoon, the very same day, a donor heart became available, so I never needed the pump. I got a brand new heart the same day I arrived, so I think I won my cross lotto there.
Yeah, for sure. So what about the transplant itself? How long did the operation take, and what about coming out of it and then getting back to some sort of quote-unquote normal life?
Yeah, well, the operation, it was a Tuesday. I woke up on a Thursday, and I was told everything went really well. The operation was only 4 hours. I stayed in Melbourne for rehabilitation for 3 months. The pain management was excellent. The one thing that you could never, ever anticipate was the emotional upheaval that you go through. That was the hardest part. I sort of battled through that and lived on Punt Road down near St Kilda. Lived there for 3 months and then came home and went straight to the gym, which I've been doing ever since I got back to Adelaide.
We'll talk about that in a second, but you want to talk a bit more about the emotional upheaval?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's got related to what's been described as survivor guilt. It's very, very hard to sort of articulate in words. The other thing, too, is that you're being marinated in humongous levels of drugs, which do all sorts of strange things to you. Mm-hmm. So I was reassured that crying 24/7 for several days in a row was quite normal.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talk about the guilt. Is that, in a sense, someone has had to lose their life for you to have their heart? Is that part of it?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure you sort of think about it directly, but yeah. I guess indirectly you're conscious that someone has passed away. But, of course, the emotions don't follow logic. That person was a donor in the same way that I'm a donor. Mm. So, but anyway, the Alfred Hospital was superb, as were the Flinders Medical Centre, pre-transplant. You're very well looked after. The pain management was excellent. And once I was up and about, we actually enjoyed staying in Melbourne. I got to see the MCG, which I'd never been to before. Went around on up and down the river and did quite a few things in Melbourne, which was a lot of fun.
Now, I think before your transplant, you were pretty much confined to a wheelchair in terms of the inability to be able to do much?
Yeah, well, the thing was, I couldn't go too far. I didn't leave home very much because I was completely breathless even after a few steps. Mm. The morning of the transplant, not that we knew, of course, we were having a transplant, I was hopeful I could walk the few steps from the Savile Hotel up to the Alfred. But my partner had to go and get a wheelchair and wheelchair me that short distance. Mm. I was just too crooked to do the short distance. And even after the transplant, it was very difficult because I was still living in a sort of a heart failure mentality. And I was still in my wheelchair until finally the physiotherapist virtually physically dragged me out of my wheelchair and said, "You get on your own 2 feet and start going." Yeah.
Can you remember that? I mean, that must have been a very powerful moment in terms of the transformation that had occurred in your life.
It certainly was, because after a gym session, Lou, if you're listening, Lou, good on you, Lou said to my partner and I, "Look, it's about time Andrew got outside of this wheelchair. I don't want you arriving in my gym anymore in a wheelchair. I want to see you on your own 2 feet the next time you arrive." And We bit the bullet, we took the wheelchair straight back to the transport department, and I walked from the Alfred down Punt Road to the Quest for the first time on my own 2 feet.
Yeah.
It's only about a 5 minute walk. It took me about 20 minutes, but I did it without stopping, and that was a huge breakthrough for me. And it was all kind of uphill from there. I regained my confidence, and away I went.
Because I guess a lot of that is confidence. You know, the statistics might say you should be able to do this, that, and the other thing, but I guess if you don't feel in your own, well, pardon the pun, in your own heart of hearts that you can, it's trying to get your head around that sort of situation that you're in.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the nursing staff and the medical staff in the Alfred were also really good, but it actually took one of the nursing assistants, who actually said to me in his broad Irish accent one day, he said, look, my boy, you've got a brand new engine, you've got perfect blood pressure, you need to get this new engine up on the road. You know, get going. And then I had a physiotherapist who one day basically came along and dragged me out of bed. And that's how it all started, baby steps, you know, walking from the bed to the door, from the bed to the exit and back. Even when we stayed at the Quest on Punt Road, I was doing small things like just walking around the apartment for 5 or 6 minutes at a time, and then just build it up and build it up and build it up. And so I got to the point where in the morning when we went to the hospital, I go tearing off and leave my partner, Dana, behind. And she's there, "Oh, it's that prednisolone that's driving you." I don't know if you've heard of prednisolone.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a steroid, which kind of sends you a bit crazy. So, I was, getting the confidence back, getting going again was absolutely essential.
Now, I know when we were in touch during the week, you were reaching some pretty remarkable figures on your treadmill.
Yeah, my friends are probably sick to death of hearing about it, but I kept going and going and going. And, I now regularly walk 5Ks in under 36 minutes.
Fantastic.
I get to 8Ks in under 60 minutes. And I did City Bay in 89 and a half minutes on the treadmill, that is, and that's all walking. So I'm pretty proud of that, to be starting off in a wheelchair.
Absolutely.
And then to build myself up year after year after year after year. And it became a passion, because if you said to me while I was sitting in my wheelchair I was going to develop a huge passion for power walking on a treadmill, I would have laughed. I couldn't have thought of anything more boring, but now I really love it.
How do you feel at the end of, say, the 89 minutes to do a figurative City Debate? How do you feel at the end of it?
I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
You're in an air-conditioned gym, so it's a bit different to being out in Anzac.
You're still putting the effort in, though. What about in terms of, I guess, monitoring and structuring your program? How much is it up to you, and how much do you get guidance from professionals such as physios?
Yeah, well, not much at all. Well, I joined the Burnside Good Life when I got back, and I told the staff there about my situation, and I had a letter from my physiotherapist from the Alfred. And to start with, I just mirrored the program that I had at the Alfred. Mm-hmm. And then just kept building it up. But I'm under constant surveillance by my cardio team and a range of other people. And they're all really delighted, with my progress and the things I've been able to do.
And that's obviously important to keep that fitness and health regime up, because, it's a new heart that you're looking after. So I guess in a sense you've probably got to look after it better than otherwise might have been the case.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it wasn't for this new heart, I'd be pushing up daisies. So, as I said, the power walking came as a surprise, but it's become a huge passion for me, and it's something I'll keep doing while I still can.
And what about in terms of medication that you're on now? I'm assuming you'd have to be on anti-rejection medication?
Yes, well, rejection has a new meaning in our house now. There's about 20 pills a day that I have to take, but they're not all anti-rejection drugs. A lot of them are actually over-the-counter drugs, but... Yeah, in fact, just before you rang, I was getting my anti-rejection drugs ready for this evening. You've got to be really on the ball. You've got to make sure that you're well disciplined with a whole range of things.
And what about things like being careful of infections or being around people who might be unwell? Does that have to play part of that?
Yeah, that's very important. In fact, if I used to feel a bit embarrassed wearing a surgical mask on the bus when I first went back to work, but I got over it because I just thought, I don't care. I just need to protect myself because, I was very suppressed. My immune system is extremely suppressed to start with. But, I've got to be careful around people who are crook. When I was at work, in fact, I left work in July 13, most of my colleagues were really good. They'd always let me know if they had a bit of a sore throat or a cold. Mm. And I'd slip on my mask when it was appropriate, So.
What about as far as diet and supplements? Are you into much of that sort of thing?
Not really. I have to take a lot of magnesium, 8 tablets of magnesium every day because cyclosporin drains you of that. But, the diet is absolutely critical because there are so many different foods now which I'm not allowed to have, like soft cheeses. I can't have food out of bain-maries because of bacteria.
Okay.
I have to have steaks well done. I've been compared to a pregnant woman, except it's a lifelong pregnancy.
Well, what can you have? What can you eat and that you like?
Oh, well, I don't mind having my steaks well done, but we tend to eat a lot of fish.
Yeah.
But I guess the things I just don't go near now are things like even Subways. I used to love the old Subways because of, the salads are all just sitting there. Even when we go to a pub, I don't go to the salad bar. I keep away from that. Always take my own lunch out with me. Pretty much avoid takeaways completely unless they're being cooked really, really piping hot.
Yeah.
And you can be, once you're confident about a place, then you're okay. But, simple infections and like that that might make you sick for a few days could actually kill me. So I've got to be so careful.
Now, Senator Fiona Nash, who's the Minister for Rural Health, has declared a thank you day for donors. I guess you'd be joining her in that as well.
Yes, well, I've recently been cleared to volunteer with Donate Life, which is part of SA Health. And this is, as you know, how this interview came about.
Mm.
I'll be posting some things on my Facebook pages and things tomorrow to celebrate Donate Life. The Thank You Week, yeah.
Do you want to give out... how can people find you on Facebook?
Oh, well, just key in Andrew Hunt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you'll come up.
Yeah.
Andrew, it's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Obviously, it's a very powerful story as well. And for those that know people who have donated organs in the past, obviously we join with you to thank them because it's a very, very powerful story. And, were it not for that, we wouldn't be chatting right now.
Can I just send a big thank you out to my partner, Dana, who's been with me on this journey all the time. I started getting crook, since 1998 when I got my pacemaker. So she's been through a hell of a lot with me. Thank all my family, my friends, my associates, my old work friends at Primary Industries, all of the medical staff who looked after me before my transplant, all the medical staff who looked after me afterwards. Without those people, I just wouldn't be here. And one other thing, for those people who, I'd just encourage anyone who's not on the donor list to give, the register, to put the names on the register and please have a conversation with your family. Mm. It's really important that the family knows what your wishes are.
Yeah, and I think the message about Dana is really important too, because often, without being unkind, you probably get the sympathy or people saying, oh, poor old Andrew, and, Dana's in the background and obviously playing a most important role. So great of you to acknowledge her role.
I think the carers, they're dead right, there's so much focus on me, but anyone who's been in this space will know what it's like going through it, because, as I said, she nearly lost me so many times in that 10-year period. But now she's got me back. Not sure if that's a blessing or a curse.
Hopefully for a long time, Andrew.
Okay.
Thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks, Peter.
That's Andrew Hunt there, part of, thank you for donors. As you mentioned, Senator Fiona Nash, the Minister for Health, for Rural Health, has declared a thank you day for those who have donated. And as I said, we certainly join in that. And we thank Andrew for his time, and a big cheerio to Dan. In fact, a big cheerio to all those who care for people who are going through tough times. Coming up very shortly, we'll chat about a very interesting night last Saturday night. We'll hear all about that from Special Olympics here on LeisureLink on 1197 AM RPH Adelaide.
Most of us try to do good every day while we're on this earth. But what happens when you're gone? There's one final simple act of kindness that can make a difference. By including a gift in your will to your favourite charities, you could help find the cure for killer diseases, protect an innocent child from harm, or preserve our wildlife for generations to come. Miracles can happen long after you're gone. Visit includeacharity.com.au now to find out how your legacy can live on forever.
this is Amy Winters, and I'm a Paralympian. And when I'm in Adelaide, I like to listen to LeisureLink with Peter Greco on Radio 5RBH, 1197 AM.
Well, last Saturday night we had graduation for athletes from the leadership program for Special Olympics. One of their mentors was Siobhan West, and Siobhan joins us. Siobhan, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
How was last Saturday night for you?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a lot of hard work, but everything came together and it was just a perfect night for everyone. I think everyone enjoyed themselves. I know I certainly did, with all the dancing I did with the athletes after. Yes.
Now, this was, a culmination of the Athletes Leadership Program, the Athletes with Special Olympics. How did you get involved?
I am currently doing a double degree in a Bachelor of Education and Disability Studies at Flinders University. So as part of that component in disability, I had to actually undertake a placement with a disability services provider. And Special Olympics offered myself and four other of my peers the opportunity to participate in mentoring some athletes in the athlete leadership program. And that's how we got involved. So that started in August. Earlier in August, and we sort of got everything together and planned things. And as a start of the program, what was really good about the program is that the athletes themselves got involved to say what they wanted out of it. Yeah. So what they wanted out of it was a really cool thing called a mentoring speed sort of dating session where they got to sit down and ask us mentors questions. So that was a really good thing, and that started off, and we had a lot of laughs and we had a lot of games played as well. So that was really, really good. And from then, the manager knew who to, I suppose, match us up with the appropriate athletes. But in the end, I think what we found was that a lot of the athletes, we could work with anyone because they were so gracious and really flexible, and the athletes were so committed to getting their leadership program. So, yeah, it was such a beneficial experience for us.
It sounds like, as you said, the athletes got plenty out of it. So, well, what about from yourself? Did you win from it as well, do you think?
Most definitely. From my perspective, I thought, going into teaching, I thought, oh yes, I'm going to teach these athletes a few things, but that happened. But it was more so. I think I learned so much more from them. I learned to be flexible with the processes and with the things, and learn to go with the flow, and learn to don't stress about the small things.
Mm.
And the lovely thing about the athletes is that they were really happy. There was one particular athlete who was happy all the time. I thought, do you ever get upset? And he was like, no, why do I need to? And I thought, what a lovely way to be. Mm. What a lovely disposition to have.
So, Siobhan, it was more dealing with the athletes sort of away from their sport. Would that be fair, rather than talk about their abilities on the track or in the pool or whatever? It was more stuff away from the actual sport itself?
Well, I suppose the athlete leadership program, it's on top of all their sporting abilities. They can develop individual skills. They can, it's a program that helps them to give them confidence outside of their sporting events. And it helps them to develop, a different skill set, the confidence, the talking to people, the going out and being ambassadors for Special Olympics, and training and public speaking and presentation, and using those skills in community and corporate events when Special Olympics, when they organize events. So they're there and they're out there. They're the face of Special Olympics. And things also like little things like as part of the athlete leadership program, the graduation that happened last Saturday, we were all split into committees. So each athlete had their opportunity to say whatever they wanted to say, to contribute whatever they wanted to contribute. And everyone had that respect to go, well, your opinion is valid and your opinion is valuable.
Mm.
So, for them to have those confidence and the skills to say, this is my opinion and I'm okay with this opinion.
Mm.
Yeah.
What made you decide to choose this career path? If I'm not being rude, you did it as a mature age student? Are you doing it as a mature age student?
Yes, I am a mature age student. I have been involved in lots and lots of things, you know, from secretarial to workplace relations to human resources to, you know, working in a pizza place. The change in career, it took a long time for me to, I mean, I always knew I wanted to work with people to make a difference. But what it was, I didn't know. It took me, I don't know, about 40 years, I think, to finally come to my senses, if you like. But it took me a while. And when I made my decision, it was very calculated. I had to leave employment. You know, we had to make adjustments, but that was okay. You need to sacrifice, I think, if you truly want something to make a difference. And working with children, I think, made me realize I always loved it. I enjoyed it. It was something that it wasn't hard work. That was what it was. It wasn't hard work.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that's what people talk about when they go, when people say, whoever people are, when people say, oh, you got to love what you do so that it doesn't become hard work, so you do enjoy it. And, you know, by no means that I know it's going to be hard work, but it's going to be an enjoyable experience, something that I will develop and grow from.
Where are you at now with your degree or double degree?
I'm half a teacher at the moment, so it's a 4-year degree. So
okay.
I'm half a teacher at the minute, and I've got 2 more years to go. So I've just finished my last portfolio, if you like, because that's part of this degree, part of this placement. I had to do a portfolio and all my experiences and what I got out of it, and you know, all the skills that contributed to get me to where I am today. So I had to actually write down a paper, I suppose, to present to my lecturers.
Now, I believe as far as the graduation ceremony last week goes, did pretty much you have, as in you, the students from Flinders Uni arranged or organised most of it?
No. We worked alongside the athletes.
Okay.
So we had subcommittee meetings, and I was on the decorations committee, and other athletes and other mentors were on other committees, like there was a fundraising committee, and then there was another committee that organized the food, the other committee that organized the entertainment. So really, it was guidance. We asked the questions. We suggested, and you know, they always had a choice. So yes, we want to do that, and no, we don't. I speak specifically for my team. The athletes in my team were very specific about what they wanted, and I was like, that's fine. We've got to come up with an idea. You come up with the idea. This is what I think the idea is. This is what I think I want it to look like, but you tell me what you want it to look like, because that's your night. And they came up with some pretty lovely ideas, and they used, you know, the native flower, but they used the native flower. We thought we'd use some lavender and some blue gum for the table decorations, and, you know, cloth and material to match. But they actually came up with their own ideas. So it looked very, very pretty on the night.
Well, sounds like it was a great success. Siobhan, thank you for sharing that with us, and we wish you well for the future. Sounds like education is in very good hands with someone like you going through the course.
Oh, thank you very much, Peter. Thank you.
That's Siobhan West, who was one of the mentors in the Athletes Leadership Program that the Special Olympics, where their graduation was last week. And in just a moment, we'll chat to one of the athletes here on LeisureLink on 1197 AM, RPH Adelaide.
Did you know 3.6 million Australians are affected by a print disability? Over 95% of published material isn't available in a form they can access. This means many people in the community can't easily read standard print. As a service provider, you may not be providing information to your clients as effectively as you could. Want to make your information more accessible? Contact Vision Australia on 03 9864 9552 or visit our website visionaustralia.org.
Hi, this is Penny Bennett from SA Blind Athletics Club. You're listening to LeisureLink with Peter Greco on 5RPH 1197 AM.
Well, Crystal Pugley was one of the athletes from Special Olympics that took part in the Athletes Leadership Program. How are you, Crystal?
Hello.
How was last Saturday night for you?
Really good.
Now, what sort of things did you do with the mentors from Flinders Uni that you enjoyed?
My best one was setting up the ALP graduation.
Okay, and that was last Saturday night?
Yes, it was.
Now, apparently there were different committees that looked at different aspects of the evening, is that right?
Yeah.
So what committee were you on?
I was on, I can't remember.
Okay. What sort of things were you helping to organise?
I was doing the decorations.
Okay. Now, we heard a little bit about that. Tell us what they were like. What sort of decorations did you use? What colours and what fragrances were there?
We used purple, white, and a little bit of yellow.
Yeah.
We had a gum and a different type of plant, which is at the front of my house, on the table. There were balloons on the table, and we had lots of papers on the table, and then there was a stage, and yeah.
Why did you choose those colours and those things? I guess the plants outside your house you would have seen every day and liked them.
Yeah, well, purple was a really good colour to go with the tables.
Yeah.
And also I made a thing called the Secret Garden, and
right.
Flowers are really good in the garden, so that's how I thought of it.
And what about some of the comments that people were making when they saw your decorations and your setup? Did you get some compliments?
Yeah, some people say that it was really, really good, and some people said that it was a really good way of doing the decorations.
Yeah. Did you get to, you know, feel pretty nice about that? Did it make you feel nice when people were saying good things?
Yeah. It wasn't me that did it by myself. I also had help with Laura Hester.
Yeah.
She was my partner into it.
Oh, we love Laura. She's a great girl, so it's great that you're giving her a bit of acknowledgement. Not give her too much, though, because otherwise she'll get a big head.
Yeah.
Crystal, you're just about to finish school?
Yeah, I finished this Thursday. I finished last Thursday. I had my graduation day.
How'd that go?
It went really good. I got lots of rewards, and it was really surprisingly really good.
Congratulations. So you've had a big week. You've had two graduations in a few days.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What about now then? I guess, you leave school and the next part of your life starts.
Yes, that's what I'm a bit scared of, but I think that I'm going to get through it.
Yeah. Any ideas what sort of things you might like to do? What sort of areas you might like to look for work in?
Yes, I would really like to do stuff with animals, children, or cooking.
Okay.
That's my three main things.
Okay. Well, there's lots of scope for any of those areas. Animals are always looking for people to look after them, and cooking, well, we've all got to eat.
Yeah. I've already done my hospitality course and my animal studies.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
And I guess, maybe if someone's listening out there that's in hospitality or working with animals and would like someone to come along that's enthusiastic and young and bright and wanting to, make a career out of it, maybe they can get in touch with us and we can put you in touch with them.
Yeah, that would be really great. That would really help me with my life.
For sure. Well, you've done the schooling and now it'd be great if you could put that into practice.
Yes.
Now, you were one of the youngest athletes in the leadership program, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I just turned 18 2 months ago.
Okay. How did that make you feel when you were working with the people that were a bit older than you? Was that okay?
Yeah, it was fine. I actually thought that I was in the middle, but I was the youngest, and I actually went through it really good.
Now, what about your athletics itself? Are you doing athletics and basketball?
I'm still doing basketball and athletics, yes. I'm not going to give them up just yet. I'm going to still keep on going with them.
You're still only 18. You've got the best years ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about maybe some travel with either state or national teams perhaps coming up?
Yes, but I'm not in Ivorbed, so I'm going to wait for the Special Olympics without Ivorbed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to really look forward to it. I'm actually hoping to go to Rio.
Fantastic. Now, what about last weekend? Did you get something to sort of remember the evening by, like a certificate or at the end of the night?
Yes, I got a ALP athlete leadership program certificate for coaching.
Fantastic.
And so, I also got coaching cards and everything with it.
Okay, so that's something you can, that's something else you can put on your CV when you apply for jobs and stuff like that.
Yep.
Terrific. Well, congratulations on finishing school. Congratulations on also finishing the Athletes Leadership Program. Sounds like you've got a very bright career ahead of you, and if anyone is in hospitality or in animal, looking after animals, then give us a call and we can put them in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Crystal.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
That's Crystal Pugsley there, who was one of the, in fact, was the youngest participant in the Special Olympics Athletes Leadership Program, mentoring up with some students from Flinders Uni. And their graduation last week sounds like it was a most successful course. Coming up very shortly, Pam Mitchell will join us talking about a very interesting topic. And a bit later on, we'll speak a bit more about the Pacific School Games. They're actually, they started today, opening ceremonies tomorrow. We'll chat more about that here on Leisure Link on 1197 AM, RPH Adelaide.